The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
What up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. It's Friday. It's always great on Friday because we got Felica and Fezzik on Friday. Fezzik Fridays in hour number two. Chris Felica's bumped up a little earlier because he's got a thing today.
He's got work stuff.
He's got work stuff. Man has another job. He doesn't just come here and then sleep the rest of the week like a bear would.
He also might feel like that's all he does over the past week, though. I think he was on enough Kentucky Derby shows.
You know what he's doing for us today? College football win totals. How about that?
He's got a lot, too.
College football win totals and more with Christopher Felica, who, when we last spoke to, by the way, I owe a couple apologies to both of these guys, one to each. Chris, because we were like, Samich at the Superfecta, and, you know, Felica gave us a 7-1 horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fezzik, remember when we thought he cursed a couple weeks ago?
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here.
I can't. The day I came back, you guys were still trying to figure that out.
I accused him of cursing. I gave the guys and gals behind the window who make this show happen, they all listened to it. They said, oh, he cursed. And he's like, no, I didn't. And we had a couple listeners who decoded it for us. So an apology to him as well. We'll get into the details of that. Jonathan Davis on the NHL playoffs. What a finish at T-Mobile last night. VGK fans don't think it was a great finish, but man, was it amazing.
Yeah. Oilers up 2-0 now?
Oilers up 2-0, heading back to Edmonton. Heading back to, it was Edmonton and my knowledge.
Canada.
No. Is it Manitoba, right? Is Edmonton in Manitoba?
I don't know.
My region's wrong. Sorry, Toronto. I know you're
in North America.
I know you're in Ontario, Toronto, but Edmonton, I think, is Manitoba. Anyway, they head back to Edmonton for games 3 and 4 with the Oilers up 2-0. But in overtime yesterday, and we'll talk with Jonathan Davis about this yesterday, it just reminds me, like McDavid and Draisaitl remind me of when I was, you know, watching Caps playoff games in the early 90s and Lemieux and Yager would just bury them. That's what it reminds me of. But we'll get to Jonathan about that and all both games tonight. Caps won last night as well.
Edmonton is in Alberta.
At Edmonton, Alberta, of course.
Well, you've got so you were confusing it with Winnipeg.
That's correct. Edmonton, Alberta. That is the worst Canadian geography move I've ever made right there. We'll get to the NBA here momentarily. There's a lot of things to get to. One, I just have a couple picks I want to get out. One is a tennis play. 2 days ago, 2-0. Yesterday, 4-1. Clay looking good until this morning. 0-2 on a couple big dogs. The problem is the dogs aren't coming in. The big dogs are not coming in.
Come on, dogs, get it together.
And we probably would have been 0-3, but we got the benefit of a walkover. So the only thing remaining is another dog, Daria Kasatkina, +141 against Marta Kostyuk. Kostyuk has been playing fantastic tennis. But I'm going with Kasatkina to be crafty. She's crafty. Get her the win here against Kostyuk. That's the remaining tennis play. Got a couple things in a couple plays in the Padres game at Coors. The Rockies are just dreadful. They got destroyed by the Tigers yesterday. I want to say by a collective 18 runs. Do I have that right? That was just unbelievable yesterday in a doubleheader. I got the Padres -0.5 run first five. I got the Padres in the run line for the full game today at Coors. I don't care if Dennis Tankersley's pitching for the Padres. Trying to think of the worst Padres pitcher I can think of historically.
18 runs. You're right.
Yep.
18 runs.
Incredible. Might not have gotten Alberta, but I got the 18 correct. Jackson Merrill, I also made that play yesterday that we were talking about. I got an MVP, the only one that was available in town yesterday, 50-1 at MGM. So I will be sprinkling that all over town. Those are all the plays. So again, I want to get the tennis in because that starts in about 20 minutes. You know how tennis start times go, but in case you want some action during the show, Kasatkina is the play as a dog in Rome. All right, NBA, only game last night. T-Wolves off the schneid. They even up their best of seven series against the Stephless Warriors, and they do so by 24 points. They win it coast to coast, led by as many as 25 right before the end of the game. The only Warriors threat came in the third quarter when they cut the lead to 7 at one point. I mean, this was the game where the T-Wolves scored the first 13 points of the game. The Warriors were lucky they weren't down 20 earlier.
Yeah.
But they scored the first 13 points of the game, did the Warriors. There was a moment in the second quarter halfway through where it looked like Anthony Edwards got hurt with the Wolves up 18, but it was more like a Paul Pierce chariot him off the court kind of thing where he magically appeared just fine in the second half. T-Wolves led by 17 at the half. As I mentioned, Dubs got within seven with under 7 minutes left in the third quarter, but then the T-Wolves went on a 14-3 run. They kicked it back up to 20, and it was KD bar the door. Ant, 20 points on 6 of 13 shooting, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Julius Randle held down the fort most of the game, 24 points, 11 assists, 7 boards. The Warriors, 17 turnovers. Their offense just looked absolutely lost without Steph. Jimmy Butler had 17. Driving in was listening to By the Books with Jensen Lewis. Keith Irizarry was in for our buddy
Dave Ross.
Dapper Dave, don't talk politics or NFC East Ross with me.
Captain America.
I agree with what Zach Cohen was on the show. And Zach, I agree with what he said. Jimmy Butler does not look right either. So as worrisome as Steph is, Steph's not going to be back till, you know, earliest game six if the Warriors can extend it that far. But Jimmy Butler looks like he is still feeling the effects of his fall in the second game against the Rockets. And even though he's scored 17, he does not look to score. Yep. He does not look to make things happen. The Warriors also comically become the first team, did you see this, in NBA playoff history to use 14 different players in one half. Braxton Key even got in there for 5 seconds.
I did not see that. Yeah. In one half. That's impressive.
That's because basically Steve Kerr is just throwing stuff at the wall. Stuff, by the way. Throwing stuff at the wall. This, as bad as you might have thought it would be without Steph, it could not have looked any worse yesterday. They head back to Game 3 at the Chase Center in San Francisco. Minnesota installed as a 5-point favorite in Game 3. Series price adjusted. T-Wolves now minus 320 in a 1-1 series. Warriors plus 250 on the comeback.
Yeah, I don't think there's any major freak out moment yet.
The Warriors aren't freaking out.
I agree with you that Jimmy Butler stuff is concerning because he needs to be near top level for them to survive some of these games without Steph. But you kind of knew one or two of these games was likely without Steph in the lineup. Look, Timberwolves finally were able to hit a shot like that. That would have been a problem for them in the past two games going back to last series. Julius Randle's been awesome. Props to him. Anthony Edwards, look, that ankle has been, I mean, that's been the thing since last series as well for him. So let's see how that carries over. You know, he might have been looking okay in the second half. Maybe it feels a little worse a couple days later after some swelling, something to keep an eye on. I'll tell you one, I think one huge positive for the Warriors and throwing some stuff against the wall is, hey, Jonathan Kuminga's back getting some minutes, and 8-for-11 from the field is going to keep him getting minutes.
Silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining.
Yeah. By the way, tonight, of course, in the NBA, this is interesting. Cleveland now up to a 3 or even a 3.5 point favorite against Indiana. Again, Cleveland must-win situation tonight. Gotta win. Otherwise, you're down 3-0. And once again, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best of seven series ever in the history of the NBA playoffs. So I'm seeing threes. There's some 3.5s in some spots. And let me just say this. The total, which has remained at 229.5 in games 1 and 2 and was 229.5 here in game 3, this has now gone down 3 points, sort of out of nowhere. 226.5. Stevie Fezzik will have something to say about that a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was noticing that movement this morning. The spread continues to go Cleveland's way. Gil, it's been a little while since I can remember a game that the books seem to be taking such a stand on knowing injury information ahead of time or assuming on injury information, because otherwise this line doesn't make any sense. From where we saw that close in game 2, you're only baking in about a point for home court advantage, which does not make much sense unless you're fairly confident that one of those three Cavaliers players or multiple are going to be back in this game.
Even if it's all of them, right? Even if it's Garland, Mobley, and Hunter. Should the Cavs be favored by after what you've seen by the Pacers?
I will have my phone in my hand all day, because if those guys get ruled out, I will be going to give me Pacers plus 3.5. Yeah. If those guys getting ruled out, I'll be on that side.
OKC up to a 5-point favorite at Denver tonight. The other game that is tonight, that is game 3, with that series knotted up at one game apiece. But we're back in Denver. That has ticked down a point to 232.5 on the total as well. OKC minus 450 on the adjusted series price there.
Yeah, I'll just be holding on dearly to my series futures tickets for the Thunder.
Steve Fezzik will have not one but two NBA plays later, and they will both be contest plays for him in the VSiN Killer Sports NBA playoff challenge that he leads, by the way.
Yeah, I dropped another last night, went under on that game.
How did that game stay under? I mean, go over, I should say. How in the world?
A lot of fourth quarter scoring, garbage scoring.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah. The other thing, there's a few other things that happened in the betting world yesterday. Let's get the golf out of the way here. So, did you guys give out this pick or you did not?
Nah, I mean, it's first round leader stuff. I usually don't bet it till like Wednesday night. So it was one of those we were going to try to squeeze in yesterday at some point on the show because it started later, but we didn't get an opportunity here.
But he didn't do it on long shots either.
We didn't do it on long shots. I don't usually bet first round leader stuff till Wednesday night when I have like the clearest vision on what the weather is going to look like that next day. So a lot of it's just out of habit, unfortunately. But yeah, it's Keith Mitchell, man.
Keith Mitchell.
What are those?
What was his number?
Well, they create 55-1 over at MGM.
Do we have that tweet about his first round?
Yeah, first round prowess.
Keith Mitchell, first round juggernaut in golf. Not a tournament juggernaut, but a first round juggernaut. It's what's the dividing line? Here it is. Keith Mitchell. This is from Justin Ray Golf, who always puts out great golf tweets. Keith Mitchell's last five opening rounds in PGA Tour stroke play events, scoring average 64.2. Position, first, second, first.
It's wild, man.
Birdies are better per round, 7.8. Are you kidding me?
Just can't keep it up for four rounds, Gil. But he is the first round king, man.
Man.
It is for him first round leader this year, and then Rory McIlroy outright. So that has been the way to go in golf betting.
All right, we'll talk hockey with Jonathan Davis on the other side. And, there's a new Pope with betting implications. Not necessarily in that order. Next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Did I ever mention that before? Michael Burns, I got plus 160 on Daria. Congrats, Kelly, on the first round leader, he says as well.
Thank you.
Dan Wickhorst, you're right, Dan. I messed up the Edmonton, Alberta thing. That hurts, Gil, he says. Have a great day. I know. My bad. Completely botched that. Scott, New York Mets 16. Oh, Gil, if you only lived in a state where gambling was legal, I got Jackson Merrill at 80-1 at DK at DraftKings. Okay. Good for you. Jack Olaquire. Gil, is Dennis Tankersley any relation to Dennis Eckersley, asking for a friend or maybe a brother? No, two different humans. Chance Copperpot. Now that Jordan Hudson has been banned from the UNC facilities and their games is in the win total over. Is the win total over on the Tar Heels a bet or are we still going under? Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Pablo sure Torre, our buddy Pablo Torre. Can we call him our buddy? He talked with 11 different sources, reportedly. 11 different sources, it says in this New York Post article, that say that the UNC administration has banned Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, from UNC's football facility. She will not be on the field. She will not be in the building. And in fact, one of the quotes was, one source, quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward. The other story about this that Pablo talked about is that the family is very concerned that this will affect Bill's legacy.
It's a bizarre story,
and that
man.
They are investigating her as well.
Investigating. Okay. Wow. It's a bizarre story. It's probably best for everybody involved, though, that if this happens now and just move on.
I like it. Good for you, UNC. John Yu. Interesting read on how the experienced polymarket trader bet the Pope market and won. He also won on the presidential election. Per your discussion today, this guy might have moved the market on the Pope. I will read that article once we're off air. That's interesting. Kyle Firestein. I wonder if the Pope markets have Italian versus the field odds like golf. That I did not see.
I don't know.
NCI 95 Gambler. This is not gambling related, but can you ask the audience if Twitter is having problems? I haven't received any notifications since last night. Thanks, guys. No, it's working for us. And then I'm here for all your questions, sports, gambling or not. And then T. Sheldahl, turning in late. Did you give out any tennis plays this morning that haven't started yet? Yes, Daria Kasatkina, which would start any time now against Marta Kostyuk. Christopher Felica is the bear, ladies and gentlemen. He works at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And Chris, before we move on to anything else, my sincerest apology, because while we were slurping Somich last week for a superfecta,
unreal,
we let it sort of slip till the next segment that you also gave us a 7-1 play. So
I know,
and my apologies.
You're forgiven. I am going to watch that Kasatkina Kostyuk match, because that'll be interesting post match now, because we know about like Svitolina and a lot of the Ukrainian tennis players, how they won't shake hands with anyone affiliated with Russia. And now Kasatkina has a Australian citizenship. So maybe it'll be a bending of the fences there with the Ukrainian Kostyuk and Kasatkina now, who's going to be under the Australian flag. We have to watch.
Yeah, well, people should watch all Marta Kostyuk matches just on principle alone, if you know what I mean.
She's got a cute little dog, too.
Oh, a what now?
Dog.
Cute little dog.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Oh, you haven't seen the videos of her and the dog on the court afterwards and stuff? Yeah,
sure.
Very, very cute little dog.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Do you have any horse racing, or are we going straight to college football? What do we got today?
No horse racing this week, and I'm going to be away, obviously, next week for the practice, but I'll be back for Belmont for sure. But yeah, no horse racing. Soccer is kind of winding down. Should have a really competitive Champions League final with Inter Milan.
Okay,
in there,
and you will
PSG,
and Fox has Belmont, right? So you'll be all in coat and tie. You'll be all dressed up for that.
Exactly. I'll look a lot prettier than I do right now, having not shaved in a few days, sitting here with my dome shining here in the light.
Okay, let's go to college football. This is your bread and butter, of course. Big noon Saturday is where you can find Chris during the college football season. So you have not one, not two, but nine season win totals. Let's begin with Kelly's alma mater, the FSU Seminole.
Do I? Yeah, anyway, I guess it is nine. Yeah, I think I've given this one out on the air already, so I'm not going to go too much into detail. I think when I gave it out, Florida State under 7.5 minus 120. Now it's 6.5 plus 110. So the number has come down. You can either take a position where you can try and middle this, and maybe FSU lands on 7 and you can win the under 7.5, win the over 6.5. But I don't know. Like, I'm not saying, I think they have a lot of roster holes. I think the way the schedule shakes out isn't good. I don't know if quarterback Thomas Castellanos will. A guy who basically quit on BC and is now the quarterback, if he's going to be able to survive in Gus Malzahn's offense. So I'm going to press in more and go under 6.5 at plus money as well. And basically, if they land on 7, fine, it'll be a wash. But I don't see 8-4 here for Florida State at all.
All right, Cade Klubnik coming back to Clemson here, but you're going under on the Tigers.
I am, and it's hard to say. I mean, I was a big fan of this Clemson program for a long time. But you look last year, and despite the fact that they won the ACC, like, they really didn't beat anybody. You got blown out in the opening game of the year by Georgia. You were non-competitive on your home field against Louisville. Yeah, you gave a game away against South Carolina that maybe you should have won, but you also stole a game at Pitt that you had no business winning. They were one of the better teams in the country last year in turnover margin, which is always kind of an indicator for either positive or negative regression. You got the opener against LSU this year, the road schedule. You got Georgia Tech, was always tricky. BC with Bill O'Brien, who obviously they played better towards the end of last year. Louisville beat them last year. South Carolina, who beat them last year. They got to go to both of those places. That's five potentially losable games. And then you've got the SMU team that they beat in Charlotte last year in the ACC championship game, who should be good as well. So, like, 10 to beat me, I think, is really, really tough. I think this Clemson team is a little bit overhyped because of Klubnik. I know they got some good young receivers, too, but I think Clemson under 9.5 at plus money is a good little contrarian play there.
All right, Indiana coming off the greatest college football season they've ever had in school history, 11-2. A quarterback room with four guys, including two biological brothers, the Mendoza brothers. You are going which way on Indiana?
Yeah, I'm going to go under 8.5, and it's my minus 122 I saw at FanDuel. Yeah, the non-conference schedule is as laughable as it was last year. Old Dominion, Indiana State, and Kennesaw State. But you look at the way the schedule changes this year for them. Last year they had road games at UCLA, Northwestern, and Michigan State. Now they got to go to Iowa, Oregon, and Penn State. That is a massive switch and flip in the schedule. So in addition to those games, you assume they're going to lose all three of those. So if you say that, then that means they basically have to run the table against Illinois, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Purdue to hit 9 wins. Again, they were very positive in the turnover margin last year. Outside of the injury at quarterback that caused Rourke to miss a couple of weeks, they were relatively injury-free last year. So, like, again, great season last year. I don't think they're going to completely fall by the wayside and go 4-8, but 9-3 at Indiana to beat me, I think, is highly unlikely.
All right, give us like 20, 30 seconds on the rest of these.
Yeah, we'll go Wisconsin under 5.5 again. This is a team that didn't do a whole lot in the portal. I think that it was a net negative for them. The way the schedule breaks down, you're not going to beat Ohio State. You're not going to beat Alabama. I think it's another bowl-less season for the Badgers. So I'm under 5.5 on Wisconsin. Texas Tech under 8.5 minus 115. The Red Raiders are a team that are very, very highly thought of after a very active transfer portal period. But again, this is a team that you've got 5 road games against Arizona State, Houston, Kansas State, Utah, and West Virginia in the Big 12. All kind of toss-up-y type losable games. And remember last year, too, they were 6-1 in one-score games. So they got a benefit of toss-up games last year. Maybe this year they don't. Under 8.5, Texas Tech. I'm over 10.5 on Oregon. I think the assumption is a lot of people are going to be under on Oregon, just thinking they're going to take a step back after losing Gabriel and everything else last year. But I'm not giving them a loss at Penn State. Who's to say they're not going to go to Penn State and win? Like, that's a very winnable game. And you look at the rest of the schedule, it's super manageable. So even if they lose at Penn State, I think 11-1 is likely. Purdue under 3.5, I think, is really, really juiced, close to $2. You can get under 2.5 at plus money if you like, but the 3.5 kind of gives you that extra game buffer. I don't know how they're winning 2 Big Ten games. One I'm kind of high on here, I think maybe higher than most, is Auburn, over 7.5. They gave games away last year against Oklahoma and Missouri. They were 5-7. The offense struggled. You bring in Jackson Arnold at quarterback. You bring in Eric Singleton to a really good wide receiver room. A lot of upperclassmen on the offensive line. 3 non-conference wins. Maybe you beat Baylor. I think that schedule's manageable. And I even saw Auburn like 35-1 to win the SEC. So that might be worth a little bit of a stab there too. And you can read the other ones on the screen too. LSU under 8.5. It was another one that I liked as well.
That's right. Texas, that was the last one. We got to them all.
We did.
Yeah.
I did better with the time, Gil.
What's that?
I heard you calling me out last week. I did better with the timing, being able to read the clock.
And what did I say when someone asked who's the most likely to run into the wall? And the answer was you.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone who works in television knows how to take it down. Kalika sure does run into the clock.
You get that criticism a lot, Chris.
Okay? I love that I have these conversations on air. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here. Last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. Don't cost you nothing. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. When you use promo code PRO, get 14 months of access to our daily best bets. That's our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael Salvino, thank you for noting the reference when I said we'll do it live. That's old Bill O'Reilly losing his mind thing. Thank you for getting that. Russell Smith took Georgia Tech plus 1398 last night. That's almost 14-1 to win the ACC. Good schedule. A returning quarterback makes them a strong under-the-radar team to play, in his opinion. Miami is not winning with that overrated quarterback. And then Scott, New York Mets 16. Have some respect when talking about Draymond Green. I mean, he is a Defensive Player of the Year finalist after all, or so his podcast tells us. Yes, he was a finalist. But Draymond, in case you missed it, he went on a rant this morning where he just feels like he's being portrayed as an angry person. And Draymond's really serious for the Warriors. Steph is one thing to worry about. Jimmy Butler, pardon me, coming off an injury is another thing to worry about, as he plays sort of not playoff Jimmy-ish, so to speak. And there's Draymond. Draymond is two technicals and two flagrants. Pick your poison away from being suspended for a game. So come on, man. Seriously. Mike Goosh. Hi, Gil. I tried last week, but we'll try again. Short version. Oh, yes. I failed to ask this of Fezzik. I will now. I won 15K. Pardon me. I won 15,000 on UFC 317 promo through MGM in Vegas end of June. My math says it's an 8,000 to 9,000 value. Can you ask Fez about ARV taxes for me? Love the show. Thank you, Mike. We will do that because now it's time for Fezzik Fridays here on A Numbers Game.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Starring Steve Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, man?
Fridays, it doesn't get any better than this.
It don't get any
fireworks in 11 hours at the Legacy Club.
What is... Okay, we'll start with that. Before you just don't even see, we don't want to stray from this gentleman's question. Why do you, as a middle-aged man... Can I call you a middle-aged man? I'm being kind. Why do you still have the boyish joy when fireworks are upon us? Why?
You know, I'm going to go to Tolkien, who wrote, like, obviously, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And there's some dark chapters in all that. And one of the best, like, hidden gems in all that is, like... Bilbo's going away party and Gandalf the wizard who's like has to face all these dragons and all these bad guys. He's like has this brilliant ability, his whimsical side to make fireworks go up to turn into stars and flowers and dragons. And it's just a great contrast.
I don't know if you answered my question. Why do you love fireworks so much, Steve?
Because my life is like so mathematical and like Gandalf and like allows me the playful joyfulness of being a little child.
I see. All right. Well, you know what? That's a beautiful thing. You text us with such joy. Look, fireworks. Like you remind me of the. I had a Uber driver once. You know the girls who have the feathers on the strip. They go around in pairs. They're wearing the big feathers on the strip.
So friendly.
Every time we would drive down the strip, he would point them out. Look, there's two more. He was so excited about it. I'm like, really? Every time?
Yeah.
That's you with fireworks. All right, what about this gentleman's question before we move on? He said, you got the question again? Short version, I won 15K UFC 317 promo through MGM in Vegas end of June. My math says it's an 8 to 9K value. Can you ask Fez about ARV taxes for me? Love the show.
Yeah, so great question. Regarding taxes, I can't speak to whether you're going to be taxed directly from MGM, but any gaming win, you are responsible for paying taxes as it being income. And so the tax you should pay is what you actually wind up winning. And if you took that $15,000 in free play and you just played it against the spread, it would only be worth 50 cents on the dollar, $7,500. However, if they allow you to play it on big underdogs, such as three-team parlays, for instance, that pay 6-1, then it would be worth 75 cents on the dollar to answer his question. So it's worth more like over $11,000. So try to play it in three-team parlays that pay 6-1.
There you go, Mike Goosh. Hope that answers it for you. What about this one? Ladies and gentlemen, the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. Steve Fezzik, the man sitting to my left here, is your leader. Currently midway-ish through the second round, but it depends on how many picks folks have made. But right now, with a record of 16-9, you're in first place. Zach Cohen at 15-10 on your tail. So is Doug Kazarian, 15-8, actually. Doug in second place, really. But Zach in third there. But you're in the lead. And this tweet, I thought, from Bobby Geddes was very apropos. He said, Fezzik telling people his contest plays on air. Sounds like classic Fezzik game theory. Hoping people follow him so they can't catch him. Sneaky, is that your motivation here, sir?
No, I'm just giving out good plays. And, you know, caveat, I never submit my plays until 1 hour before the deadline. And should these numbers move, should I be able to get a better number in the market than in the contest, it won't be a play because I get the best number possible. So,
You have not pressed submit on these yet.
No. So 2 minutes before the deadline, if I'm home, I'll play Cleveland Indy under the 229.5 and Oklahoma City Denver under 233.5 in the contest. But let's say there's a 231. So let's say that first total steams upwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just bet it myself, and I won't put it in as a contest play. But
because those are two different animals. Yeah, absolutely.
And I treat playing in a contest as being the same. I've got an implied bet, or in this case, the room attendants at Circa have an implied bet because I've donated my money that I would win towards them. I'm sure Mike Palm is like already sweating out how the heck to like figure out that what how that will be done. Yes.
Okay. Why both unders tonight?
Because it's a trend that if the first game of an NBA series goes over and game two goes over, game three, when they change venues, becomes a 61% play to the under. And it makes a lot of sense because what happens in general, as you progress through a series, and everyone knows game sevens historically go very much under, but the total as familiarity tends to drop as you go from game one to three to five to six to seven. And so there tends to be a big drop game three. But guess what? There isn't a big drop. When games one and two go over, then everyone's like, oh, these teams can't stop each other. And so there's nothing to suppress the number. So it tends to stay right where it was games one or two, if not be a little higher.
Okay. That makes, I like a, I'm not really a trends guy, but if they make some intuitive sense, I'm into it. I get that. Okay. You think you're winning this thing, by the way? You think you're winning this contest?
Well, I mean, I'm not even in first. So Kazarian is 15-8, so he's in first.
Lost column, he's really in first.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact I think I told you there's five or six guys that can win.
Yeah.
And there's still five or six guys that can win. So I like my chances. Contest play is a lot different than just picking winners, and I am a contest specialist.
That was a question designed to see how arrogant you were going to be.
Oh, dear.
And you passed the test very well.
Oh, dear. I'm a terrible tennis player. Terrible. Just ask Todd Wishnev.
No, you're getting much, much better. Especially for your age, you're pretty darn good.
Yeah, wrong side of 60. It may be time to go pickleball. No, I'll retire if it comes to that.
Let's talk baseball here for a second here. You have been all over these bad teams, and you have been undering, if you will, them over and over. Which teams?
Yeah, so I've got five of them right now. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, the Angels, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Colorado. And I've got five plays on them. I'm playing all five of those teams to go under the total. From memory, because I didn't write it down, I don't know why. I did send it over to Kelly. Baltimore under 74.5, Angels under 69.5, Pittsburgh under 64.5, Miami under 61.5, Colorado, they're god awful, under 44.5, and
under 44.5.
These teams,
man, are they bad.
It's not just that their records are horrific. If you look at this is Pythagorean theorem 101, where, like, if you look at the run differential, all these teams have these negative run differentials anywhere from, like, most of them are in, like, minus 60. Colorado's, like, minus 110. The season's not even a fourth over.
Yeah.
So if you multiply 60 times four, like, they're going to get outscored by 300 runs. They're all White Sox of last year on pace, and they're going to get worse because they're going to jettison players probably come midseason.
Yeah, the jettison. I always bring up the jettisoning of players midseason also. But like you look at these teams, the ones that you're mentioning here, first of all, the Orioles didn't buy when they could have won. I doubt they're going to sell now when they suck. So there's that. I guess the Angels have, what, Tyler Anderson, I guess they could unload. The Marlins, certainly Sandy Alcantara. You know, the Pirates aren't going to unload.
Who's going to want Sandy? He can't pitch a lick this year.
Well, the Pirates certainly aren't going to load Skeens or Cruz, right, or O'Neill Cruz. But I suppose like Tommy Pham or the great Isaiah Kiner-Falefa will be available. You know, I'm just saying, like, what do they really even have in many cases? But there will be some help for
it. And Skeens will get fewer innings.
Yeah. No, and that for sure. I would imagine there will be some kind of load management, because if you suck, why are you putting all that wear on his arm?
And the market is still staying anchored to these teams thinking, oh, well, pre-flop, the Pirates were lined at 76 wins, so they should win at that rate. And they're not adjusting the power ratings downward enough on all these teams.
I feel like there's an artificial floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Rockies are going to push the limits on that for sure. More with Steve Fezzik right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, part of Fezzik Fridays, the Sports Betting Network.